them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Talk to me, baby. What's good? Hey, one more time. We welcome you in here to the May 15th edition, the Thursday, May 15th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
KC is out today. My man Jake Gaten starting the show with me. Jake, what's up, baby?
What's good, my guy?
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Jake, where are the worst slums of Sacramento at?
Do I have to actually?
Nope, don't answer that. No one ever has, and you shouldn't be the first one. Oh, man, thanks for coming in.
Dude, this is awesome. We're going to have so much fun for the next couple hours.
Yeah, I think Jake's going to spend the first 2 hours of the show with me. Will Z will be with me later. Matt George, the final hour of the show. We're going to talk to a lot of Matt about the Locked On Kings podcast he did with his DeMar DeRozan ideas. So really excited about that. We got the NFL schedule that dropped yesterday. I you got your stupid-ass Patriots shirt on.
Okay, you just noticed that?
No, I didn't. No, I noticed it when I walked in.
Yeah?
Little Super Bowl champions. That's fine,
Did you see what else I tried to copy of you today? You see, you have your green drink, right? Right.
Okay.
I got my strawberry drink.
See, you're that guy who got the workout in already.
Oh, already ready to rock. Yeah. All right. We got it. We have to.
Got the workout in, hair's looking just TV immaculate. That's the thing. That's the thing with the TV people is they don't ever go anywhere not looking 1,000%.
And if you do, you really want to look 0% because you're hiding the rest of the time, basically.
See, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. TV's such a different animal because normally you and I were sitting down to talk and it's like, all right, man, we got 2 minutes to talk about why the Kings are falling apart. We got 2 minutes to explain why De'Aaron Fox was traded. All right, you guys talked too long last time. We got 90 seconds to go over this. Buddy, all those parameters are gone.
I'm ready for it, all right? Yeah. We can talk for 20 minutes if you want to.
We can, it's actually 28, but we're going to be able to do all of that. We're going to be able to do all of that today, man, and we'll discuss a variety of different things here with our man Jake. And first, Warrior season is over. The Timberwolves advanced to their second straight conference finals. And the Warriors, they look like they do when Steph Curry's not there. And when Steph's not around, like that looks like a completely different basketball team, man.
Yeah, the spacing last night, once again, was a complete issue. I also think defensively, they just didn't have a lot of answers for Julius Randle, and then Anthony Edwards got hot really, really late in that game.
Yeah, I think there's probably a few things to talk about in that regard, like the fact that Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns trade was evaluated, you know, to death. And you've got, you know, Julius, and it took Julius a little bit of time to get going with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Though that's the story of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It takes them a while to get going. And I'm not even sure that they have gotten going yet. But I do think that they played their two best games of the series in the last two games.
And that's what you want, because you want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the year.
Yeah, build momentum now.
Straight up.
And they, you know, I think that they've done that, but I'm also of the opinion, and I don't know that I'm completely alone on this, but I'm often alone on this. I think this Warriors roster was pretty talented. You know, obviously the acquisition of Jimmy Butler meant a whole lot to him. Jimmy's catching a ton of heat over the last couple of games for the way that he's played without Steph Curry, which I think is like completely unfair. I don't think Jimmy. You know, there's a lot of this was KC yesterday, and I think other people feel this way. Is man, all you Miami Heat people, you owe Pat Riley an apology. Y'all was on his neck for not re-signing Jimmy Butler, and it's clear Jimmy Butler's not that dude. Well, Jimmy wasn't brought to Golden State to be that dude. He was brought to be Steph's dude. And when you lose Steph, and you're crossing your fingers, you can get something from, but you're crossing your fingers for a good Buddy Hield night. That's, as Kings fans are aware, that's a dangerous island to live on. And they, you know, Jimmy wasn't great the last two games, but also the defenses that he faced were completely different than the ones that he faced when Steph Curry was around. He was now the number one scoring option in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, all right, go ahead. I think he scored 27. I think that was the game after Steph got hurt. He never sniffed that again.
Well, you should see how the defense was by the Timberwolves in terms of when Jimmy had the ball. They didn't switch when Jimmy had the ball. So as you know, Jimmy is great driving the paint, laying it up, or dishing it out. Reason why they paired him with Steph, because Steph could get open on that dish out three. When you don't have a guy like that, Buddy Hield can't shoot. Brandon Pajimski is afraid to shoot, which I'm just blown away for a guy that had so much swag and confidence in his rookie year.
He had a great game last night.
But that was so late, though.
I know.
Come on, Dame. Like, it show up in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the game. Set the tone. He didn't do that last night. He didn't do that whole series.
See, but that's the problem. Like, if you're relying on pods to set the tone for you,
you needed someone to.
It should have been Jimmy.
Straight up.
I'm sorry, there's another highly paid champion on your roster. Set the tone on one end of the floor. But we all know, Drew Down, Ultimate Warriors fan in the chat, Uncle Loon, you all know this too. 23 can't set the tone if Steph Curry's not there. He just curls up and withers away. And, you know, I'm not going to fault Paz for not coming out there and being the guy to do this. It should have been Jimmy for whatever reason, whether it was the defense, whether it was just his ability as a player. Now, Jimmy couldn't do it. And you got Draymond Green shooting six threes. If I'm Minnesota, yeah, go ahead, dog. Go ahead. Because I saw you hit threes earlier in this series. I know you're not doing it again.
Straight up.
Sacramento will tell you he's good for one. That one will kill you. But he's good for one a series. And then the one that you needed was Buddy. And Buddy was the one who kind of was like, I don't want to shoot the ball today.
And then his defense wasn't good last night either. Did you watch that? That's why they had Kuminga out there for a majority of the time.
Well, there's a million reasons Kuminga should have been out there. This stretch, this Timberwolves series is the biggest indictment, I think, on Steve Kerr to date. It's like when we look back on Mike Brown, when you look at it, the things that fell apart from Mike Brown in Sacramento, one thing that once you remove all of the, the gossiping and the hearsay and all of this, who didn't like each other. Fam, you didn't start Keon Ellis. And you once told us Keon Ellis is a situational rotational player. And Keon Ellis is far from a flawless basketball player, but he's also, in my opinion, Mike Brown's lived his life in the game. I haven't. Mm-hmm. He's not a situational rotational player. He is a key rotational player who can be really important, who should be really important to what you do. The fact that Jonathan Kuminga has DNP CDs on his box score is absurd. And it creates one of the most interesting off-season storylines, I think, in all of the NBA. The Golden State Warriors, what's their next move? They're desperate, like thirsty desperate, to get Steph Curry that fifth title. And they have the assets to go acquire a big name. Do they do it? Can they do it? And what role does Jonathan Kuminga play in that?
I think it's really interesting. Two things came out of last night's game. One, you start with the comments that Joe Lacob made to The Athletic and our good friend Anthony Slater, saying that he loves Jonathan Kuminga, thinks Kuminga could be a very big core piece moving forward. And he was surprised early in the playoffs to get the DNPs. But there was also other league sources that he has in that same exact story, probably from the front office, saying, hey, we are going to look at a sign and trade, which what you just alluded to, Damian, in terms of go after Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
If he's available, do you go after, Kevin Durant's, I don't know, do you revisit that? Like,
that's an interesting discussion. The Kevin Durant thing is interesting.
I would say with Kuminga, I don't know if he fits in this timeline of what they want, and I think Kuminga's a great player. I think if you do go after a guy like Giannis, I think Milwaukee can sit there and say, okay, that's another very athletic guy that we could build around. But I don't think timeline-wise right now, Kuminga's on the same timeline of what they're looking for. They're looking for a win-now player that's not going to make mental mistakes in the game. And the reason why Kuminga wasn't playing is because Steve Kerr just plainly doesn't trust him. Great defender, extremely athletic, but I don't think if pressure comes down to it, you're not going to put the ball in Jonathan Kuminga's hands. And I don't think he trusts him in the final 4 minutes of a game to make the right play. Simple as that.
Man, you are really limiting the future of your organization. If, like, I get it. You know, there's this Steph LeBron thing, and you really want Steph to get that other one. You have, and I get it, you have the assets to do it. You're in a far better position to get Steph his fifth than the Lakers are to get LeBron his fifth.
Agreed.
A far, far better position. But when Steph, unless you acquire Giannis, you can not completely reset the timeline, but you can move that timeline back a little bit if you get Giannis. Because if Steph retires, and I think Steph has a ton of time left.
You think so?
Absolutely.
5 years?
Was he 36, 7?
37, I believe.
I think he very, very comfortably has three if he wants them.
Okay.
Like, Steph to me playing till he's 40 is different than LeBron playing till he's 40. The size that, like, the fact that LeBron is a physical marvel at this point. Steph doesn't have to be a physical marvel. Now, you know, I think I'm not going to overreact to the injury, but the hamstring injury, that's concerning. Steph doesn't really get hurt very often. But
he was coming back for game six. That was going to happen.
There's no way.
There's no way. 3 days rest. You don't think so?
It was 10 days from the injury to game six.
Grade one.
Okay. Fair enough. James Harden did it. This was the example we kept going to.
Yes, yes.
James Harden did it.
Yep.
He did it, and it was 10 days. It was the exact same time frame. And we all remember what James Harden looked like. It was an incredible performance that his teammates rave about. He stunk, but him being on the floor was impactful for that group. I don't think Steph just being there would have had the same impact. I don't.
Really?
No.
Not spacing-wise? No. You don't think it would have changed anything?
Spacing-wise in the sense of obviously you have to guard him. I think that's the extent of it, though.
Okay.
You can guard him one-on-one when he's playing with maybe at best 1.5 hamstrings. Maybe at best. We'll come back, man. Jake Gaden's hanging out with me for the next couple of hours. Obviously, Casey is out. We are thrilled to hear. We are thrilled you're here with us. The Timberwolves were the only team to advance yesterday, and it's no coincidence.
Jesse.
Jesse's feeling better today.
Hey, don't do that. Where's KC?
Hey, I was going to wait till after the break.
Nah, I'll do it right now. Don't tag me. Make me the bad guy.
Well, the Knicks lose and KC's not here. What a shocker. We'll dive into that game. We'll dive into that series. We'll look at that conference when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. My man Jake Gaden, kind enough to hang out here today. Since KC's not here, I'll remind you, I'll set a lineup for tonight. Prize Picks is jumping off. Your boy is taking L after L after L after L. Giant loser over here on my Prize Picks app. Thankfully, you put in the promo code KIFM. You get $50 after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM. Get $50 after you play your first $5 lineup. I'm looking at some picks right now. Nikola Jokic at 28.5. I'm taking the more on that. Let's see what the demon looked like for Nikola Jokic, man, because I have turned the corner. Whew. 34.5. That's the demon for Jokic. I might have to run with that. Aaron Gordon, 0.5 three-pointers made. That's a goblin. I might take that as well. And Michael Porter Jr., 9.5 points. Ugh. I'll take less.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the promo code KIFM. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game. I don't care who sent it first. Was it Zay? Okay, Zay, you were going to win no matter what because I don't acknowledge this fraudulent league. So congratulations, Zaybo. You get another win in the league that you created. I've turned the corner on Nikola Jokic.
Not that I didn't
appreciate Nikola Jokic, but I recognized, you know, watching this series, but specifically the last game, which strangely enough they lost. He might be the most skilled offensive player we've ever seen.
Better passer than shooter.
Which is insane. With the sentence you just said might be accurate, and it's absolutely insane.
You saw the fadeaway three. That
ridiculous.
No, you're not supposed to make that.
He he has it all. Like he is phenomenal. And I think I have done a lot of yeah, but with Nikola Jokic, and it was almost always yeah, but Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, but let's acknowledge what Giannis has done since he's won his two MVPs. Those two can be great separately because Giannis is phenomenal. Nikola Jokic is phenomenal. And when I look at those two and I look at the top players in the league, the Shays, you know, Joe had a run, Joel had a run for like 4 years or so where it was really those three as the top players in the league. And you kind of look around at everything else. It's like, man, Jokic is absolutely, he is something special.
Is it interesting that they haven't given out the MVP award in that series yet between SGA and Nikola?
Yeah, I mean, this is a round. Is it conference finals?
It's supposed to be
second round that they normally do it.
They do it by date. They don't do it by okay. It's like, hey, we're gonna announce it on this date and this date and this date. So like, it was supposed to happen already. That's the crazy thing. So I don't know if they're waiting for after the series to make that a formal announcement.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, obviously the winner has been long since determined.
You think so?
Oh yeah, like
I mean, SGA's like 100% ran away with it.
Well, what I mean is they voted on it.
Oh yeah,
a long time ago. Yeah. But yeah, it feels like SGA. I think anytime you hear a name in the middle of the season, that's probably your MVP unless something happens. And nothing happened. He just kept doing what he was doing. Like he was like SGA was consistently great the whole year.
Now piggybacking off what Jake said, yeah, last year Jokic was announced as MVP on May 8th. We're already a week after that.
Oh wow. Okay. Huh. I didn't even realize that. That's the last award to be announced, right? Everything else has already been done except the all.
Because we got Coach of the Year, GM of the Year, or Executive. Six man, the whole thing.
Yeah, all that stuff has been announced. Okay, well,
it's a conspiracy.
They're making a new trophy to put Nikola Jokic.
You better not
in
get a co MVP
winner. There's no way. Yeah,
is that possible though? With the way voting like is that
it
can add up?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
A lot of people were split this year. I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest.
I don't think it was.
You think they're all SGA? Because I feel like a lot of people are arguing towards Jokic too.
I think
though,
that's what I was about to say.
Do you think the MVP? You think the MVP vote is close?
Oh, absolutely.
It's probably as close as it's been in a while. I think.
So I always think back to the Russell Westbrook triple double James Harden year.
Yes.
And everyone was like, "This is going to be so close." James Harden was so great this year. Russell Westbrook did something historic. It wasn't. Like it wasn't close. Like Russell Westbrook won going away. And I feel like they crowned SGA in, like, January.
Not trying to take away from what Jokic has done, but those voters do love him, too.
Oh, no, they absolutely do.
Like James Hamm all year was like, Jokic, Jokic, Jokic. And I feel like that's going to be a lot of the voters, too. Because, like, his numbers were insane. And if you take him off this team, people can argue, like, yeah, they're not even a play-in team.
And here's the other thing. You got to look at the turmoil that you had within Denver in that front office and, of course, that coaching staff and how you want to actually coach this team. That's the interesting part when you look at Jokic, because maybe the winning wasn't there, but his production was still there, and that's the most important part. You're absolutely right, Jesse, though. If you take him out of that lineup, like, that team is not even close to not even being a play-in team. I don't know if you meet the playoffs with that team.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot closer. I don't know if it's going to be a tie, but I don't know why they haven't announced it yet. But
I think they could wait to Game 7.
Maybe they're Florida, the Electoral College. They're going. Well, hold on. We got to do a recount. Let's make sure.
Because now you're holding on to it.
Hey, after the draft lottery, I'm the biggest conspiracy theorist right now. All right?
Now you're holding on to it so long. You could just hand the MVP to the loser after Game 7.
That would be okay.
Like, say Jokic wins Game 7, SGA's MVP is like, oh, yeah, here's the MVP trophy after you just lost. Vice versa with Jokic.
But when you want to celebrate in front of the fans, isn't that like half
the... That's what I'm saying. Like, now we're getting to a point where someone's going to lose and get an MVP potentially.
We're on Game 6, right?
Yes.
So we're in Denver.
Yes. Ball Arenas.
Okay.
5:30 tonight.
Okay. I'm going to assume it's SGA, because if it wasn't, you'd hand it out tonight. This is the last game in Denver, perhaps. He'll get it Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
I don't think they'll do it Game 7. That's That would be insane.
If I'm the Nuggets and you're handing the MVP to SGA in game seven, what are you doing here?
If I'm the Thunder, I'm demanding. No. We're absolutely not doing this before game seven. You can either do it in a press conference or we'll do it at game one, but we're not doing it today.
Yeah, no chance.
That'd be bad.
God, I hadn't even thought about that. That's interesting. Boy, the NBA really is rigged. Man. Hey,
don't get me started on the draft lottery. I don't believe anything.
You think it was fake?
No, but I still think I just
Jake's open to everything, I guess, hearing everything.
He's not a conspiracy theorist. He's just a theorist. He just wants to hear it all.
How does that happen?
Lottery combinations, man.
Straight up.
Like it's a 1.8% chance. Like, all right, like that's true. Your chances of winning the lottery are less. Way less. And someone still does it. But it was them, huh?
Straight up. What was the number the Kings needed? The fourth number in the combination?
I don't remember what the number was.
I think I want to say it's like
Zach Lowe had it. Yeah.
10 or 11.
That's like the second time that they've been that close. It's like, all right. Whatever. They didn't win. It's a lottery
combination.
It's gonna
make you feel worse.
Yeah, like okay,
that's all it is.
They were close. They've been close in terms of the lottery thing before. I do think the changes they've made to the lottery system clearly work. Like I think now we're on. This is 2025. Started in 2019, so that's six lotteries that the worst team in the league hasn't gotten the number one overall pick. So the weighted system for the bottom four teams and all that, it's worked out to the league's advantage. It's made the lottery a whole lot more interesting than it used to be. It never goes chalk anymore, and you get Atlanta with the number one pick. You know, fourth lowest odds in history, you get Dallas getting the number one pick, and now you have – my biggest frustration was like, yeah, I'm looking at that sideways given the – Luka, Los Angeles, all of that stuff. But, yeah, this second time Dallas is at the center of the NBA universe, huh? Okay, my bigger frustration is, so they're out west. Terrific.
Wonderful.
Now we're looking at San Antonio. Now we're watching all of Texas moving forward. Thinking next year, all right, they're without Luka. Who knows what you get year to year from Anthony Davis? And Kyrie's out. Now you got Cooper Flagg coming in.
But remember, Cooper Flagg is not going to be Victor Wembanyama year one.
I got you. Well, remember, too, though, with Wemby, San Antonio knew what time it was. And they were able to kind of ease Wemby into the league.
Agreed.
For lack of a better, that's kind of what they did. Like, they put him in the shallow end and just let him get acclimated to the water. And he was phenomenal. That's not Dallas, though. Dallas went and acquired Anthony Davis. They probably felt a certain way when they lost Kyrie Irving. And whatever they felt got rejuvenated a couple of days ago when they realized that they can land Cooper Flagg. Now you can approach this entire offseason differently with the idea of if Cooper is a rookie phenom, Dallas could be very good next year. If you're Nico or you're Jason Kidd, You're not easing Cooper Flagg into the league. You're like, hey, we kind of made a win immediately move with Anthony Davis. We didn't think Luka could do it for us. We think Anthony Davis can. We thought the combination of Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving could. We don't have Kyrie. We all got to go. We're going to go do it now. And Cooper Flagg going to go out there and play a ton of minutes, and he's going to attack the league right from the jump. It's not going to be the Wemby situation.
I think that's the best three trio in the league. Could it be?
Wemby, Kyrie.
AD and Flagg. Where does that rank? Rick's like, you're in a Fox.
That's a good one.
Wemby and then Castle. Warriors.
Or they got, because let's not pretend like it's not Bailey, they got the number two pick.
Straight up.
How many games do I get to see this trio play?
None this year. Yeah. Well,
I saw Kyrie maybe in January. AD's always in and out.
Okay.
My point is that
it's Prize Picks.
How dependable are they?
It's Prize Picks, more or less than 10.5.
Oh, this season?
Yeah, more than, you said January for Kyrie.
That's what I saw on Hoops Hype.
Okay, let's go. We're going more and a half, more or less 10.5 games for the combination of Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Cooper Flagg this season.
I'll take the over on that.
We say more here on this show, Jake. More.
I'll take more, I think. But like Kyrie's not time playing back to back. I don't think it goes more than 15, maybe.
Oh, okay. 15, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you got a lot of faith in Anthony Davis the second
half.
That's kind of the one that's bringing this all together. All right. And I mean, in Anthony Davis's credit, that's when he played. He played when we thought he wasn't going to play anymore. And they obviously wound up making the play-in, and what happened after that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, straight up.
Doesn't really matter. All I know is they got their ass kicked by Memphis. We'll get back to the Warriors coming up here in just a couple of minutes, because I think they do have a really, really fascinating offseason ahead. I think it centers around Jonathan Kuminga. You brought up Kevin Durant. I got questions about that as well. But the Minnesota Timberwolves are the only team that advanced to the conference finals last night. Jesse's Boston Celtics.
Underdogs.
Following, and that's a shoe, right? Like they're really they're really the underdogs now. And this is what do I have this right? They're 9-2 now, counting that.
Yeah, 9-2, I believe, counting that one. It's either 9-2 or 10-2. I think.
No, it's 9-2. You're right.
9-2. Yeah, because I think Kevin Harlan, whoever's on the show or the game yesterday, said something else. But yeah,
9-2. The Celtics are without Jason Tatum.
Can I ask you, Jesse? Why do the Celtics play so well when everyone counts them out? Like, what's like why? Like why?
I think that's our fault for counting them out. Like, Jaylen Brown's an all-NBA guy. Like, what he did yesterday is not unbelievable, I don't think. Derek White,
he was fantastic.
Derek White is whatever's between an elite role player and a star, because he's not a star. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like he transcends being a role player at this point, given his production and all that. Like, that's that. Like, it's just, they have guys who just can fill into their roles. Like, it's just like a machine, I guess.
If we categorize him as a role player, is he the best role player in the league?
That's, I would agree with you.
He might be. Yeah. I don't know who would put him.
Who's a better defender as a role player in the league?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think there's one better.
The only question I have for the series moving forward is simply who's going to be able to rebound for the Celtics. When you have Mitchell Robinson dominating the offensive boards like he did in the first half, and Cat doing the same thing in the second half, that's the biggest question for the Celtics in Game 6. Are you going to still be able to out-rebound this team? That simplicity, the Celtics have a great star players when it comes to KP, when it comes to Jaylen Brown, Derek White, et cetera, et cetera. It's the small things that make this series the difference, specifically down the stretch in the final 4 minutes. Of course, the Knicks are going to want to muck this game up, make this a close game in the final 4 minutes of the game, and then be able to win it like they have with Jalen Brunson for the past couple weeks. The question is, can the Celtics do what they did last night, get that 20-point lead, and sustain it for the rest of the game so the Knicks can't come back in?
I don't... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can respond to him, because I have...
I don't think different. The Celtics got to jump out to this 20-point lead. Like, this is still a good basketball team, and as far as, like, the rebounding, it's going to have to... Like, Kristaps Porzingis is damn near unplayable at this point.
That's exactly
like just keep like Luke Kornet has been better than him all series. Just keep Kristaps on the bench at this point. Like, what you probably needed from Porzingis minus the threes that he gives you, like, you're getting from Kornet.
Yeah, but then that opens up a whole other conversation of, okay, where's the space?
Well, that's the thing. Like, then you're going to need, like, Peyton Pritchard came in yesterday instead of Porzingis. Thank you. You're going to need Peyton to do what he's doing yesterday, grab an offensive. Like, you're going to need guys to fight for boards, like how they were doing yesterday. I think they can do it. Like, it's going to be tough, but I think they can do it.
You need Al Horford to be good, too.
Hey, shout out Al. He's been everything you need.
Like, I mean,
so
you need him. You need him to continue to be good.
Old man Al.
Porzingis, like,
keep him on the bench. He's unplayable right now.
Like, what is, like, at this point, like, can you send him somewhere? Go to the Mayo Clinic or something.
The Celtics,
like,
doctors can't figure it out.
Him?
It's been an all-season thing since literally the beginning of the season, damn near.
And I'm not being critical of him. I'm, like, concerned about him. Like, get that brother off the court and go figure out what's going on with him. That man can't play more than 12 minutes without a difficulty of breathing. Like, something is wrong with him.
They asked Joe Mazzulla postgame, why didn't Porzingis play second half? Said he couldn't breathe. Like, he can't get his wind or whatever. I don't know what it is. They've been calling it upper respiratory illness all season, but he's been missing games off and on because of this.
Game 6 on Friday,
you might
right?
want to stop generically referring to this as an upper respiratory issue. Like, figure out what's wrong with him.
That's as vague as you can be because you don't know what it is.
Can I set up Friday, though, in New York? It's going to be a
It's
going to be a banger of a day in New York. You have game six at MSG, and then at the stadium, Mets, Yankees, Juan Soto returns to Yankee Stadium. Mm. Talk about a city that never sleeps. That place is going to be jumping on Friday.
And I feel like the Garden, New Yorkers are confident. I feel like the Garden is going to start that game in a celebratory mood.
You think so?
Like there's going to be nonstop shots of Spike or Cardi or whoever is
Kylie Jenner. If she's not courtside, we have issues. Okay?
What's my man's name? The guy that
Timothy Chalamet.
Thank you, that guy.
Shout out Dune 2.
Straight up,
great movie.
Great movie.
Shout out what?
Dune 2. Have you seen Dune 1?
No. Have I heard of it?
You should have.
It's a 3-hour movie. I don't know if it's your bag, but nope, it's great. It's great though.
But you have a great.
What is it?
Oh,
is it? It's not a.
It's like a sci. Not what to call it. Sci-fi. Sci-fi-ish.
Yeah,
it's not crazy though. It's cool. You like it.
You would like it if in your movie theater.
Are you so confident? I would like this
because I think this is. It's a really good movie.
I've worked with you for 5 years, damn near. Like, yeah, I think you would like this movie. You got to like sit and watch it though.
It's called
Dune.
D-U-N-E. Yeah.
All right.
1 and 2. Got to watch it back to back.
Are they both 3? Really?
Yeah. Might be a 5-hour thing.
Yeah, don't do it in this. I don't even think they're doing the same day because that's a lot.
Yeah,
it is. You're busy, you know, he's a busy man, Jake. He's a busy man, things to do. But maybe knock it out over a weekend or over a week.
I don't watch enough movies. I still haven't seen Sinners.
What? What?
I haven't seen that either.
What? Right. You people, throw the flag.
Yeah.
That was the
best.
Oh, please. All right. That was the best movie, guys. Oh, my goodness.
Who'd you throw the flag on?
Hey, Jake's here. You wanted a flag.
Throw the flag.
On us.
Oh, that's what we do? All right. I don't think Jake is aware of how the flag system works over here.
Hey, Jake wanted a flag. I'm a producer.
I need to. You know what my problem is I always say I'm going to go see this movie. And then like time passes. And then it kind of becomes a thing where it's like, I'm going to be able to download it pretty soon anyways.
Well, that's the thing. Like, oh, yeah, I want to go see this movie. So everyone's talking about it. I also don't want to spend $80, though.
$80?
Well, that's a little over-exaggerating, but it's like, you got to get tickets.
Who are you paying for? You and 4 other people?
Well, me and my
significant
fiance.
Other, yeah.
It's about $25 per ticket. And then we got to get
where are you
drinks,
going?
Popcorn.
That's $25 per ticket.
Isn't that just what they all are now?
No, it was like
20 bucks.
18 bucks? All right. I went a couple
like
weeks
ago. Like I said, 80 is over exaggerated, but you get the point.
20, so you're okay. Your
man wants to get a popcorn and an icy and some candy.
Oh, you don't go to the dollar store like the rest of us? Like you're too good.
Well, no,
for
not
that?
Me. I'm talking about Jesse.
Jesse,
I don't go to the movie
in a while.
Theater.
You still do dollar store runs?
There's a reason why you bring your significant other, okay? You pay for the ticket, but she's going to be the one that brings in the extra little snacks and everything, all right? She puts
in
the
bag. Her money is my money at this point. My money is her money.
Okay. Okay, so that's what I'm saying, though, bro. That's where you – it's a transactional agreement there.
You
know what I mean? I'm just saying.
I got to work the game, but I got to start going to Dollar Tree.
Yo, it's wild, all right? That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
So I always check Apple TV because like for the downloads, and the pre-order is up at $24.99. It just doesn't have the release date.
I would pay $25 for that.
Oh, absolutely. But the dumb thing is I do this all the time. It's like, oh, I waited too long. Oh, well, it's available. I could buy it for $25. And then I watch it. Oh, it's great. And then I never watch it again. I guess that's no different than going to the movies, though. Like, if you go to the movies, it's not like you're rewatching the movie.
The reason why I buy it, because I have a nice little 5-hour plane ride back and forth from New England. So, like.
You don't have to go back to New England all the time.
Yeah, I don't. Just stay
here and be in California. You'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think so.
You don't have to go back to Glastonbury or Rhode Island or Worcester or whatever the different place.
Greenwich, okay.
Is Greenwich the popping? Yes, the one you guys always talk about, Greenwich?
Yes.
What's that?
Greenwich is the one that's popping, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Greenwich County.
Well, Greenwich is rich.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You guys always talk like that's like big time.
So Greenwich is like the richest.
It's the richest county in the United States.
Damn.
You want to know why? All those CEOs from New York, they'll take Amtrak in every single day from Greenwich.
Yep.
20 minutes to the center
of
the city.
You know who else does that?
Who?
Bristol.
Yes. All the time.
Yeah. There's a number of the higher paid ESPN people.
It's Westport, actually, because Westport's a little. I can give you the whole demographic of how Connecticut works because no one knows it's an actual state. It's hysterical.
What I found in my experience living in Connecticut is that you run into a lot of cranky people.
Okay.
And they're cranky because they're from Connecticut and not Boston
or not New York.
They're like stuck between the two and they're like, this sucks. Like, I want to be from Boston. I want to be from New York. Like, but you're from Connecticut.
Trouble picking teams because, like, some people are closer, I guess, to.
Yeah, I'm the prime example. Mom's from New York. Dad's from Boston. I'm a Patriots fan, but everything else is New York.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like I'm split down the middle. My dad refused to bring me to Red Sox games, never brought me to Celtics games,
damn.
Patriots games as a kid. Don't know why. My mom is the one who brought me to Knicks games, Ranger games, Yankees games specifically, all the time.
And Connecticut touches a lot of different states, too. So, straight like up. Stanford, for example, Stanford is like right outside New York. But then you get more towards like the Rhode Island side, and you're closer to Boston, mm-hmm. which is, it's still in Connecticut. It's just more like, that would be southeast?
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, Connecticut's a weird place.
It's home.
Weather sucks. What part are you from? You're not from Greenwich, are you?
No.
That'd be the greatest thing ever. What part are you from again?
Old Saybrook, Connecticut.
Old Saybrook, yeah, it's a nice area.
A little Middlesex County area. I had a
house in Glastonbury for a while.
Bless your heart.
Near Hartford.
Oh, I know where Glastonbury is. Yeah. Glastonbury Mall's right over there.
There's a mall?
Oh, well, you guess you haven't been there in a while.
No, I haven't. No, I have not been there in a... I never went back.
Yeah.
Once I took off in December of 2015, never stepped foot in the state again. Never. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss. My man Jake Gaden hanging out while KC is out. But we'll talk a little bit more about this Celtics-Knicks series. Can the Celtics push this to a Game 7? Can they pull out the series? What does that say if they're able to do that? I want to get back to the Warriors as well. We talked about the offseason that they might have ahead of them. And then there's going to be a big discussion over the course of the next couple of days leading into the conference finals, whether that conversation is fair or not. There's going to be a lot said about injuries. We'll get to the NFL schedule as well. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Jake was just sharing his love of the different towns in Connecticut.
Real quick, going to call it audible. We got a special caller. Says his name is Tyrone in Staten Island.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No.
Tyrone?
Yo, what's good? What's good, baby? Hey, you know the vibes, man. Hey, what's good? You know what I'm saying? I'm representing Shaolin to the end. You know the vibes. Wu-Tang, stand up, boy. We ain't even playing. Joey Badass, he doing his thing, too. We ain't even playing with him right here. I'm calling for that Knicks Celtics, you know what I mean?
Okay, Tyrone in Staten Island. Your Knicks couldn't get the job done last night.
We ain't even worried about that, you know what I'm saying? They try to get my man Jalen Brunson, you know what I'm saying? And they try to foul him out, you know what I mean? It's a conspiracy, you know what I'm saying? You see what they did with the Mavericks? Hold on, baby.
Tyrone?
Tyrone in Staten Island.
Staten Island. You have a child screaming in the background.
Yeah, because she's mad about what they did to Jalen Brunson, too. She's like, yo, what's up with this? This is crazy right now. They found my man out. They bust my man Josh Hart up, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, it's nothing. And this Cornette dude, he going to come to the Garden. Come down to 145th Street. Come down to 145th Street. He going to come to the Garden, and we got everything for him. We ain't playing on 7th Ave. You know the vibes. We got Knicks at 6. We ain't even playing right now.
Oh, so you're not going to fade him, huh?
Oh, like, he can, whatever. Like, hey, Knicks fans got to get it out of there.
Hey, there's a lot of questions about how you happen to not come into work the day after the Knicks lose.
Hey, you know, I gotta watch the kids. I gotta be a dad today, daddy daycare. But I'm tapped in. You know,
daddy daycare. Your child is screaming in the background.
That's true, yeah.
No, she's upset. She was talking about Jalen Brunson too. She was like, "This is ridiculous. It's conspiracy. You see what they did with the Mavericks. You know what I'm saying? You see what they did with the Mavericks. They're trying to do the same thing, but we're not letting it happen. Knicks are 6. We're going to the Garden. You know what it is? And Tyrese Halliburton, we got some for you.
Okay,
time for you.
Question for you, though. Question for you. Mets or Yankees this weekend?
Oh, know the answer to that.
It's Yanks.
Thank God. All right. Hang up on him, Jesse. We got issues.
Well, hold on, though.
I'll hang up on Yankees. Hold on. Watch.
Oh, man.
It's not easy. It's not easy, Jake. Hold on. It's not easy.
Hey, why does he get the fade out and I got the hang up last week? All right. Jesse literally put me.
BX Borough, you know what it is, man. We ain't even playing over there. 177th Street, hey, man. BX, man.
You want to get to the – you better get to Ryan, man. She's going to beat your ass.
Y'all keep killing it, man. Hey, Knicks and six. Let's go, boy.
Straight up.
Boy, yeah, that's not something a fan would say.
You better hope it's Knicks and six, too, bro.
I don't know why he doesn't embrace being a New York Knicks fan. He pretends like he's not. I don't know why he just doesn't embrace
it. Look at the photo behind him. He's wearing a Yankees hat.
He's a big New York guy.
I think that's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not, except you're from Sacramento, California. Like, you're from Connecticut. You're from Old Saybrook.
Yes, sir.
It's fine to be a New York Knicks fan. It's fine to be a New York Yankees fan, a Mets fan, Giants, Jets, whatever. KC from down the street.
You had to root for someone as a kid because being a Kings fan was...
Some would say that's the case now.
Straight up.
That's why there's so many goddamn Warrior fans in this market because, well, the Kings let them down for too many years. There's a generation of fans. Oh, 2002, 2000... Like, there's a generation of fans in this market that have never seen the Sacramento Kings be good. Or, I take that back, they saw them be good 1 year. And it was a couple years ago. Like, that's all they know. They don't know Mike Bibby. Oh, why is everyone excited Mike Bibby's at Sac State? Why is everyone so?
It's my generation, I'll be honest with you.
That's not interested?
Not interested, but are just sitting here like, you know, why is Bibby a big deal at Sac State? Okay, the name recognition and what he brings in. But like, I don't remember the Sacramento Golden Years when I was a kid. Like, it was not prevalent.
I have no clue how old you are.
How old do you think I am?
I don't know.
Yeah, how old are you?
Yeah.
I'm literally talking to Kyle. Like, how old is Jake?
Yeah, you got it. You got
30?
It.
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no wonder.
Jake's with me.
Yeah, Jake is absolutely with you.
It means you're a millennial, me, you, and KC.
Straight up.
Shout out.
Straight up.
All what? Right.
Relax.
What?
Look, you weren't a part of the civil rights movement, so relax. What is my generation?
You're Degeneration X.
Generation X, okay. Gen X. What a work this all is. Let's get TC in here real quick. 916-909-1320. TC, what's up, baby?
Hey, man, what's up, man? Hey, what's up with my guy? Listen, man, what's up with my three bros, bro, man? Hey,
we here, baby.
Three brothers, right, I guess?
Yes, sir. Nah, we here. Nah, Jake with us.
I know Jake with us. What's up, Jake, man?
Yo, what's good, my guy? How are you?
I'm all right, bro. Hey, look, we having some wild calls. My boy from Staten Island was wild. Hey, Jesse, you a fool for that. Hey, we need more calls like that. I thought I was a wild one. Hey, check it out. So, look, hey, to keep it cool on the Kings, we talking about wild takes. What y'all think about this, bro? I know, hey, you know I'm always calling D-Lo with a trade idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it, and this is one that I'm doing today. And I don't care. I know everybody get caught up on the Lakers and all that, right? But listen, I'm sending Domas and DeRozan to L.A. for Rui, Gabe Vincent, Dalton Connect, and 3 first-round picks.
Why would the Lakers?
No. Thank you, though. I don't like TC. That was that one. TC. Sometimes
money works on that one either.
Yeah. Sometimes TC calls with a trade. Maybe we hate it, but it'll get us talking. I just TC. That's just a flat-out no. That's
I'm
not.
Sorry.
I don't think that's good for anybody.
Yeah, neither team. All right. Why would the Lakers do that? They need a center.
Are you of the belief, and we'll talk about this with Matt George later. He really instigated a lot of this conversation with a recent Locked On Kings podcast. Are you of the belief that no matter what, DeMar DeRozan is gone?
Oh, 100%. And I know it's from both sides, too.
Yeah.
I think from both sides that needs to happen.
Well, but we have that's fair. But we also have there's different people in charge. Like, what if Scott Perry feels a certain way about DeMar DeRozan? And it's like, no. Maybe the two sit down and talk, and it's like, well, hang on a second. What if, and he constructs something that maybe is a little bit more to DeMar's, like, oh, okay, maybe I could see how that works.
Are we giving DeMar a contract extension? Or are we just, DeMar, you're here for a year, and then you got that half guarantee, whatever that last year is.
Are we giving a contract extension now?
I feel like bringing DeMar back would just be a short-sighted move. I feel like given his contract status and where the team is, I don't see a way where like it makes sense to have him back, I guess. Especially at his point in his career. It's like you'd essentially just be bringing him back for 1 year, right?
I mean, you can do something next offseason.
Well, and that's what I mean, too. Not necessarily, this doesn't have to be this offseason, but you'd be cool with DeMar being here for maybe 3 years? Three more years?
Nah, I'd like to see, like, if DeMar is here, I'd just like to see how it goes next year.
I don't think he's here, though. I don't think he is either.
I just was, Scott Perry's not Monty McNair.
Oh, I understand that, but I also think Scott Perry has a different vision for what this team is than Monty McNair, and I think he's very accurate in those findings. I think he's going to be much more open-minded to being able to bring in guys that were what they need, long athletic forwards, right? Something that they have been lacking for the past 3 years, and that's the key to their success, specifically against the Timberwolves of the world, right, or the Rockets of the world. When you look at DeMar, he's your only tradable asset on this team. The contract works. Clearly, it didn't work on the court with LaVine and Sabonis. You can say all you want how much they could work out this offseason. I just think it's the Chicago Bulls 2.0. I think with DeMar, he needs to go to a win-now team, a team that is one player away to making a solid playoff run. I think the Clippers are, quite honestly, the best fit, if you ask me. I know you're going to go into that with Matt, though.
No, I love the Clippers are. I think there's a couple of really good fits.
Intriguing.
The Clippers are. What is, you know, I think one of Matt's proposals was Norm Powell.
And I'm good with that.
I'm great with that. But Norm Powell was really good for the Clippers last year. Maybe DeMar can be equally as good and fit like kind of a different need. It'll certainly be interesting. Like, who can get us a basket? We've got 3-point shooters. We got something. Who can go get us a bucket when we need one? And DeMar DeRozan can do that, whether it's Orlando or Houston or the Clippers. Like, DeMar can go get that bucket. But I'm still curious what that looks like. I think there were the Clippers, the Heat, those were teams that were certainly interested in him when he signed with Sacramento last summer, but money was severely constricting those two teams. Probably constricting DeMar's interest in them too.
Of course.
Sacramento was able to make the move with the San Antonio Spurs for Harrison Barnes, clear up a little space, sign him for a bigger contract. Now, none of that matters because now you're in a trade where salaries are involved. So if the Clippers want him bad enough, they can make it work. If Miami wants him bad enough, they can make it work.
Miami's in a different spot, though.
Than they were last year.
Yeah, by far.
Because Jimmy's gone.
Jimmy's gone, and I think they're going to build differently around Bam and Tyler Hero.
I think that's another really interesting thing this year is what does Miami do to take the next step? Because it's not like Riles is just going to go...
Pat Riley, he did a press conference the other day, end of season type of thing or whatever. And he said like they're not rebuilding, and he said he wasn't above trading for an aging star too. I don't know if that star meant KD or whoever, but I don't think we're gonna see a rebuild.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely not.
No rebuild. But.
Absolutely not. No chance.
I just don't think Miami's in the same position as they were last year.
I understand. I just don't think we know what position they're in.
Yeah, then that's what they're figuring out.
What is their approach with Bam?
Exactly.
Yeah, is it Bam and Tyler? Is it just
Bam?
That's
how he was talking.
That's what?
He was talking like, yeah, we're going to move forward with Bam and Tyler, but it's Pat Riley. So
I mean, I don't know. Like, Tyler Hero's not bad.
Yeah, he's a good player, but they just need more.
They do need more.